Welcome to the Aftermarket Briefing. I'm Mia.
And I'm Milo. It's been a session where energy, rates, and earnings all collided. Oil above $100, treasury yields at multi-year highs, hike odds surging, and some big individual earnings reactions. Let's walk through the closing tape first, then the catalysts behind it.
So let's start with the biggest driver, oil. Brent crude topped $105 a barrel as tensions in the Middle East escalated, and U.S. crude went back above 100, a level last seen in May. The market is bracing for a prolonged conflict with Iran. On top of that, U.S. gasoline prices hit a record over the Labor Day weekend.
And the geopolitical picture worsened on multiple fronts. President Trump warned Tehran over activity at a suspected nuclear site at Pickaxe Mountain, telling Iran not to get cute. Meanwhile, the U.S. and Iran have been exchanging attacks on ships near the Strait of Hormuz. That's the choke point for a huge share of global crude, which is why supply fears are so acute.
There's also a second supply story layered in. Russia's crude output fell in August, lagging further behind its OPEC plus quota after Ukraine stepped up attacks on Russian oil assets. So you have Middle East risk and degraded Russian supply at the same time. That's a genuine tightening, not just a headline.
To be clear on what's fact versus interpretation, the price moves, the gasoline record, the ship attacks, and the Russian output decline are reported. The idea that a prolonged war keeps supply tight is the market's working assumption. It's not guaranteed. The things to watch are whether Hormuz traffic stays disrupted, how Washington responds, and whether OPEC Plus does anything to offset the lost barrels.
And that oil shock feeds directly into our next subject, rates. Traders pushed the odds of a Federal Reserve rate hike next week up to 70% in morning action. That's a big repricing, and it's being driven by exactly the inflation fear the oil surge creates.
The bond market confirmed it. The 10-year Treasury yield topped 4.9%, the highest since 2023. Yields on government debt rose to fresh multi-year highs, and interestingly, that stoked demand for an auction of 30-year bonds. Buyers are attracted by those yields even as surging oil strengthens the case for a hike as soon as next week.
Municipal bonds felt it too. Muni yields jumped to their highest since the April 2025 tariff rout, pressured both by rising treasury rates and heavy new issue supply. So this isn't one corner of fixed income. It's the whole rate complex repricing.
Now the data. August PPI came in at up 0.4%, exactly in line with the Dow Jones consensus. So wholesale inflation didn't surprise. The real test is Friday, when the Bureau of Labor Statistics releases the August CPI at 8:30 a.m. That report is being treated as more important than usual, and reasonably so. It will either confirm or deflate the inflation scare that the hike odds are built on.
One caution here. We don't know yet how much of the oil spike shows up in that CPI print, and how the Fed weighs a supply-driven price shock against growth is genuinely uncertain. Friday morning is the decision point for that debate.
Which brings us to housing, where those higher rates are already biting. The average rate on the 30-year fixed mortgage crossed 7% for the first time in over a year. And in August, home sales fell, despite the highest supply of homes for sale in more than a decade. That's the notable part. Usually more inventory means more transactions. Instead, buyers are being priced out even as homes sit available.
Yet prices keep rising, which is the puzzle here. Sellers haven't blinked. The thing to watch is whether sustained 7% plus financing finally forces sellers to adjust prices, or whether the market just stays frozen with high supply, falling sales, and sticky prices. That standoff can't hold forever, but we don't know how it breaks.
And the tightening isn't just the Fed. The European Central Bank hiked its deposit rate a quarter point to 2.5%. Its second hike since the Iran war began. Policymakers cited inflation set to stay well above 2%, the consequences of the U.S.-Iran war, and surging government borrowing costs. So you have simultaneous tightening on both sides of the Atlantic.
The uncertainty there is the classic central bank dilemma the ECB is openly facing. Inflation risk from oil versus weaker growth from the war and higher borrowing costs. If crude stays elevated, more hikes look likely, but each one deepens the growth question.
Now let's shift to equities, starting with the AI trade, which had a split personality today. Oracle jumped 7% after its quarterly results beat, and cloud infrastructure revenue more than doubled. Its revenue backlog also came in stronger than expected. That's the single biggest individual mover in the tech complex.
And Oracle is a stock that captures the hopes and fears of the AI trade. Its options were doing something curious heading into earnings, which is worth noting because it means positioning was unusual. But the broader backdrop is that AI's stranglehold on the U.S. stock market is loosening, a key tech stock volatility metric that options traders have watched all year is reversing. Interpretation, not fact, leadership may be rotating away from a narrow AI trade, but earnings like Oracle's complicate that story.
On the fundamental side, analysts at Piper called Broadcom the ACC Compute King in a new note to clients. That's an endorsement of a stock that Jim Cramer has famously disliked. And in the broader portfolio context, Cramer's rapid-fire update on his 33-stock portfolio flags 6 current favorites, including 3 tech names and a bank stock.
Let's move through the rest of the corporate tape. Macy's posted strong fiscal second-quarter results and raised its full-year guidance, but the shares fell. The third-quarter guidance left investors unimpressed and overshadowed the beat and the raise. So the market is paying for the forward outlook, not the trailing quarter. That distinction matters for anyone reading earnings headlines.
Starbucks is 2 years into its turnaround under CEO Brian Niccol, and he says the company is back. The next stage focuses on cafe makeovers and customer experience. He said he aims to finish the job on uplifting all of the coffee houses. That's management's framing. The results of that second phase are still to come.
OpenAI made a significant move into finance. It launched ChatGPT for financial services, targeting the research, modeling, and pitch book work traditionally handled by junior Wall Street bankers. And Amazon gave that business a boost by letting its advertisers into ChatGPT, notable because Amazon has been hesitant to open its sprawling web store to external AI platforms. That's an adoption signal worth tracking.
Apple made news at its launch event. John Ternus's first showcase as CEO, announcing its first foldable phone and the iPhone 18 Pro. That's the biggest change to the iPhone release cadence in 7 years. Two other names. Ford announced a $1 billion investment in a new paint shop at its crucial Kentucky truck plant, announced Thursday, following Transportation Department criticism over its China operations. And JetBlue cut its third-quarter capacity outlook after weather and air traffic control disruption snarled northeastern operations. Shares fell as the turnaround effort faces added pressure.
Next, the alternatives and crypto corner. Nasdaq invested $100 million in Kraken's parent and is eyeing a 2027 launch of tokenized stock trading, a big bet that tokenization becomes part of the market's plumbing. Coinbase partnered with Move to boost community-backed stablecoin capabilities ahead of a preliminary Senate vote next week on a bill to regulate digital assets. And Kelsey launched perpetual futures for gold and silver following CFTC approval, its latest move to diversify what users can trade.
In private wealth, wealthy investors are seeking oil and gas assets. But the Iran war and the AI boom have crowded that market, and bargains are scarce. Greece and Turkey are luring the UK super-rich with more favorable tax regimes, new competition for Britain. ProShares wants to launch interval funds targeting individual, self-directed traders. And with bond volatility and rising rates, investors are hunting for income outside traditional bonds, alternative fixed income, stocks, other strategies. One credit market nugget. In the risky loan world, A private equity firm's aggressive reputation during corporate distress costs about 60 basis points more on its loans. And Emeria's largest lenders have signed NDAs barring them from trading the firm's debt as they step up talks over a 350 million euro cash injection for the French real estate services provider.
Then the policy side. With 54 days until election day, Wall Street is making midterm bets. Firms are drawing up market playbooks for how November's result could move equities. Trump's dividend plan, a payout that could cost more than $1 trillion, met immediate bipartisan pushback and faces likely legal obstacles. Republicans plan to tout a congressional stock trading ban at their midterm convention. But note the tension. Trump disclosed more than 21,000 trades in 2025, and the House passed restrictions apply only to Congress. And in media politics news, ABC won't air Kimmel's interview with Senate candidate Talarico amid FCC pressure and Trump administration concerns about equal airtime for political candidates. On trade, Mexico's ambassador said the two sides are pretty much aligned on the objective of lowering U.S. tariffs, and Mexico is hopeful for a deal this year. That's a statement of intent, not an agreement.
Two lighter sectors before we wrap. The NFL plays its first ever regular season game in Australia this week. Commissioner Roger Goodell is playing the international long game, he told CNBC Sport, and the league could rework its TV packages in the next media deal. There's an opt-out clause at the end of the 2029-30 season, allowing it to resell and redistribute its media rights.
And from Bloomberg Power Players 2026 Inches New York, a quick sweep of the sports business boom, Swing Cash discussed the WNBA's growth. U.S. Soccer's JT Batson and Kansas City current owner Angie Long talked about sustaining post-World Cup growth. Jake Paul and Nikisa Bedirian discussed the Professional Fighters League merger and combat sports. Investors, including Apollo Sports Capital's Al Tylis, covered capital deployment across leagues. NASCAR's Steve O'Donnell and driver Tyler Rennick talked grout sync on and off the track. And Tennis Channel's Jeff Blackburn joined Martina Navratilova on streaming and Next Generation fans.
Finally, deal-making. Belron, the windshield giant, is reaching out to investment banks for a potential Amsterdam IPO that could be one of the largest Europe has seen in recent years. In contrast, India's NSE, the world's largest derivatives exchange by volume, downsized its IPO, a sign of concern about investor appetite at the valuation it wanted. That's a caution flag for deal pricing everywhere. And Emirates is still working toward direct access to Berlin this year, a route long denied under German restrictions.
So to recap the tape, oil above 100 with record gasoline prices, the 10-year above 4.9, 70% odds of a Fed hike, mortgages over 7%, an ECB hike, Oracle up 7 on a big beat, Macy's down on guidance despite a raise, and Friday's CPI as the pivot. Facts were the prices, the hikes, and the crints. The inflation scare narrative is interpretation until Friday confirms it.
That's the briefing. Thanks for listening. We'll be back after the next close.